Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it
the place to be.
The place to be, yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. And as the infamous sounds of the Beastie Boys bring us in this evening, we are, of course, doing this podcast in remembrance of the great Adam Yauch, MCA. And to discuss that, of course, I need to bring in my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
JR, it's always a pleasure, sir. Welcome, everyone, to the 126th edition of the Place to Be podcast. It is always a pleasure to talk to you. And, yes, I'm very sad, seeing a member of part of my childhood, next to, you know, Benny Goodman's orchestra, pass away. But yeah, no, I,
American
Boys,
Patrol,
American, yes, exactly. Yes. yeah, I mean, Beastie Boys were part of my childhood in the late 80s. License to Ill was one of the best albums ever made of the decade. And very sad, very sad. And unfortunately, a few sad things we'll have to discuss tonight, but some happy things as well. It is our weekly cornucopia fun and games. We will recap Raw, which hopefully will keep you awake. It's one thing about JR and I. We usually try and entertain you as best we can, even when the this episode of Raw this week was like reading the encyclopedia. So we'll try and do our best to jazz it up for you. We will also go over...
Were you rocking out to that back in the day?
Yes, exactly. Yes,
Glenn Miller.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, flipping the girls in hoop skirts over or whatever they were wearing in 1937 or whatever it was. So we will go over Raw and SmackDown. We will get you up to date on the Over the Limit card. We have what, 3 matches in the can. Of course, that takes place a week from Sunday from the.
This just sounds fitting with you talking over this in the background.
Make sure you buy your war bonds. so then after that, we will we'll go over the card for Over the Limit. 3 matches set right now. I don't even know what the name of it. It's not the RBC Center anymore. It's called some other bank now in Raleigh, North Carolina. Then, of course, the news.
The ignorant politicians who refused to get with the times and repressed homosexual feelings state. Bank, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, it's a very, very strange situation going on there. We won't delve into that tonight, though. That's because that has exploded into something kind of out of control, not only in the political realm, but in the wrestling realm.
The one thing I saw that sums the whole thing up says, North Carolina, the state where you can't marry a gay person, but you can marry your gay cousin. No, I fucked that all up. It was you can marry a cousin, but you can't marry your gay cousin. That's what it is.
Okay. Weird. But what's weird about I'm not going to get into it. It didn't get passed in California either. A similar type of thing, which is just really even more strange than not having passed in North Carolina. But anyway, we'll go over the news and notes with our good friends at WrestleChat.net. We will bring back, of course, PTB Nation's Asshole of the Week. And thanks to the fine notebook here, we do know that Delmon Young is your defending champion.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he obviously we'll have a new winner. Take a look at the thread.
New winners, huh?
Yeah, new winners. Oh, I can't imagine anything A little sad bringing up Benny Mollison. Anyway, we'll also update you on the NBA playoffs. Also have an exciting Game 6 going on right now down at the Verizon Center in D.C. The Rangers lead the Caps 3-2, but last time I checked, the Caps are up 2-0, trying to force a Game 7 back at the Garden. The winner will play the Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals. So our good friend Dr. G, very excited about that. We'll go over the NBA playoffs. Only one team.
David Putty's also very excited about the Devils.
Yes, that's right. We'll go over the NBA playoffs. Four teams had a chance to finish series off last night, and only one did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Pacers. So we'll talk more about that as well. Some baseball and anything else that comes to mind. So why don't we dive right in, JR, and talk about Monday Night Raw not starring Brock Lesnar. If John Laurinaitis thinks he'll ever join the Gold Dust Trio, he has another thing coming, let me tell you. Toots will never let him in.
We need a Beastie Boys cover of that song for you.
Exactly.
P.S. Your cunt is in the sink.
Very excited this week he was, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is, you know, he's pretty much become the face of this company. Shockingly enough, who would have thought a year ago? But, yeah, he's been fantastic. He really is taken to the role. And you can tell that they really, really like him, and he's doing a good job, because for the first time in a long time, we have one authority figure pretty much for both shows. So, I mean, when was the last time we had that? When was that?
Wasn't
Vince in charge of both for a while? No, he never really was, right?
No, I mean, because when they had the brand split, it was Bischoff and Stephanie. But before that, really, the whole authority figure storyline never really happened. It really started at the brand split.
I mean, I was thinking more like 05, and I guess Vince was just in charge of Raw, right? Because SmackDown's always been either Heyman, Teddy, you know, after heel. Stephanie.
Heyman, or a heel like Edge or something like that. Or
Vicky.
Vicky, right.
So, all right. So anyway, for the first time in a long time, we have one general authority figure, and it's kind of a nice for a change. You know, I do like Teddy, and I don't really like him in this role, though. I kind of wish maybe they just stick him off a little bit. I don't know. It's kind of lame, some of the stuff they're doing. But anyway, I digress. We're here in Greensboro, North Carolina. Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, of course, hosting Raw. John Laurinaitis comes out, talks about Cena, how he's going to embarrass him at Over the Limit when they face off. And of course, we get a great little video package of all little clips of Johnny Ace in his wrestling days, and he talks about how he won championships in Japan and how he's a legitimate athlete. And I thought that was a nice little touch. He said he was a Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, and Rock of Japan, which I thought was pretty good.
Yes. what an unbelievable mullet. But the reality is he really did have obviously he was embellishing a bit, but he had a decent career. I mean, obviously he didn't steal somebody else's belt and hold it in the picture. So, mm-hmm. It wasn't, earth shattering like Bruiser Brody or Stan Hansen or anything.
No, but
it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, he did very well over there. CM Punk interrupts him, and it looks like they're kind of drudging up this feud a little bit, which is good because, you know, he's obviously been preoccupied with Cena, but I think Punk and Laurinaitis also have pretty good interactions. So Punk said Ace went to Japan because of a joke, and he came back, and he's still a joke. And talks about he's going to beat Daniel Bryan. And Laurinaitis announces that Punk will face Lord Tensai later tonight in the main event. So
yep,
that's that. Yes. Next match is Big Show versus Cody Rhodes for the IC title. Cody escapes and runs off with the title, so Big Show wins by countout but does not regain his IC strap. And from what I've read, it looks like they're going to blow that feud off at Over the Limit, and that'll be it finally. So.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, it's been a decent couple month run, and it's time for Cody to take on some legit. I mean,
yeah, he needs to get into a good work rate feud, right?
Yeah, he needs to get into a feud with a legitimate intercontinental challenger. I mean, not knocking the Big Show, but he needs a guy to give him some good matches.
No, I agree. I definitely agree with that. Before that match, of course, Big Show was caught backstage mocking John Laurinaitis' voice. So after the match, he's calling Cody to come back to the ring, but Eve comes out looking very hot in her little executive administrator role, and forces Show to apologize and basically says, "We're going to make your life a living hell for making fun of Laurinaitis and crossing the boss." Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph got the win. So
there you go.
I know. I'm probably going to sound stupid complaining about this, but it's just more 50-50 booking. It's like the tag champions just won the belts last week. Do we really need to job them out a week later? This is why guys just don't get over. You win one week, you lose the next, and they don't really mean anything in the long run. So,
right.
And backstage during this match, we saw Mason Ryan with AW and his stables watching. So it looks like maybe the teasing he may join up with Primo, Epico, Rosa, and AW.
I'd be happy with that. I don't want him. At first, I thought he was going to join Vicky and Dolph, and which would be absolutely stupid because, what, 6 months ago, he was beating the crap out of all of them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
No, I think it's pretty cool that he joins. He would legitimize
a little muscle.
AW's. It'd almost be like a low-level Batista kind of thing. I think that's a good idea.
Cena appears via satellite, talks about the doctor saying, he shouldn't compete. He says, blah, 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 I'm going to wrestle, and pretty much just sets the stage for Over the Limit with Laurinaitis, so nothing crazy there. Tag match, Maxine and Natalya versus Layla and Kelly. Layla and Kelly get the win, and you had some thoughts on Kelly in the chat room on Monday night.
Yeah, she looked, I don't know what it was, but she had, and so I think it was, I forgot it was Greenhouse or, I don't remember which other person, I thought it was Greenhouse. She just looked like she was glazed over, like smiling high, and she turns to look at Layla, and she turns her head, and she still hasn't moved her smile, and her eyes haven't moved. Looks like one of those puppet bad guys in Doctor Who or something. It was like so weird. Like, what is wrong with her? And then somebody came back. I'm pretty sure it was Greenhouse Ghost. Doesn't she look like that every week? And I mean, yes, at times, but no. I mean, Monday night she really looked glazed over. Yeah. I mean, she really looked like she was out of it. It was really weird.
It was odd. I feel bad for Layla because I feel like she just really was put in a bad spot. Coming into this situation when everyone really wanted Karma to be the one, and we talked about this last week. Just kind of a rough start to her title reign, and she just feels a little tepid right now. So,
yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I love Layla. I really do. I'm glad to see her back, but yeah, she's in a rough place right now. It's unfortunate.
All right, up next was the anchor tag match of the show. We had Alberto Del Rio and Chris Jericho defeat Randy Orton and Sheamus when Jericho pinned Sheamus. He grabbed the title after and said he just pinned the world champion, and him and Del Rio leave together. So we would then find out later that we will now have a fatal four-way at Over the Limit, and we can talk about this in a little bit, but it is now going to be Del Rio, Jericho, and Orton challenging Sheamus instead of just Del Rio. Do you want to rant on that now, or do you have a news story about it? Or
no, we don't have a news story on about it. I just want to don't forget to mention that in the match it was a little face miscommunication Sheamus accidentally brogue kicked Orton in the face, and then that's when Sheamus beforehand ate the Codebreaker. So and then they all fought in the back. I'll get into the rant. Let's go through Raw. When we get into the matches for the pay-per-view in a couple minutes, I'll rant about it, because I think this is an absolutely stupid idea. But we'll get into that in a little bit.
All right, next is Brodus Clay versus The Miz, one of the rare hair Brodus Clay actual match. And it's interesting to see him kind of, be on the defensive for a little bit. But he actually does end up defeating The Miz. Again, more 50-50 booking. We saw Miz get his win back over Santino last week, and now he comes here and loses to Brodus Clay. So just more stuff, and you wonder why, guys just don't get over. So.
Yeah, he just needs to take a vacation. I mean, he just needs to, he is, I guess, if he's doing the Marine.
Yeah, you're right. So. I mean, well, I think they've said, though, aren't they only going to film it, like, over 3 weeks or something? So he's probably not going to be gone for that long.
He needs to be gone. He really does. It's a shame. And this is it's not a knock on The Miz, but we're not going to beat a dead horse. You and I have talked about this for weeks on end. He just needs a complete, not an overhaul. He doesn't need, like a new character, but he needs to be gone for like 3 months and then come out on SmackDown and jump somebody and get into a title picture. That's what he needs right now. Even his promos aren't good anymore. He's just I almost feel like he's bored. I don't know, that's just me, but he definitely needs a breather, that's for sure. He needs a powder, a spell.
Okay, so from there we find out Triple H needs surgery due to the attack by Brock Lesnar last week. But we do find out your boy will be on next week to speak live to update us on his injuries.
Yes.
So we then find out that Brock Lesnar will not be appearing, but he will have his legal counsel appear for him. And if anyone was on Twitter at the time, your WWE champion CM Punk spoiled the surprise. I kind of wish they played this song. I think it would have got a little bit more of a pop.
I concur. I'd like to. I'm trying to remember, and I apologize. I'm trying to remember who actually put the, because it was in the, somebody put obviously posted the Twitter link on in our chat thread. No, it wasn't you. It was somebody else. It wasn't you. I can't remember who it was. Somebody posted the chat the link on Twitter, and I actually went to it. So yeah, how about that? I knew how to get there. And
you weren't on your own.
Well, no, but I knew how to get to the, you know, okay. Anyway.
You just click the link so you know how to get there? You know how to click
the link?
Yeah,
I know how to click the link.
Real impressive. Al Gore, creator of the internet over here, knew how to fucking click a link.
Look, I was tweeting back during the War Bonds days, okay?
Yes.
I invented Twitter during Benny Goodman shows. Anyway, he was standing there and with his weird kind of strange tanned ultraviolet skin, whatever that weird picture was, but... out he came, the mad scientist. As
you know, and I was excited. I was, you know, I had texted Andrew, made him tune in, and other people were getting on. And he comes storming out, and the crowd goes miles. It was very, very quiet reaction for Paul.
Yeah, I think the problem was the theme threw everybody off. Mm-hmm. I thought that was dumb. I think they should have played the theme you just played. I don't think there's any question about that. And number two, you know. We really weren't in ECW country.
Right.
Or do you think that even matters?
No, I don't think so. I think other people should know who Paul Heyman is. But I guess when you think about it, I mean, he really hasn't been on national TV in a wrestling ring, you know, in 6 years almost. It was, five and a half years, the end of 06 when he was an on-screen character. So there's been a lot of turnover, I think. But and I think part of it was the crowd was maybe disappointed that they weren't going to get Brock Lesnar. I can't remember if it was announced beforehand, you know, by WWE.com or anything, that he wasn't going to be there. So... you know, they don't know live what's going on. They don't know that his legal representation is coming out. So, yeah, to play his music, I think maybe they get a little excited for him, and then Heyman comes stomping out. But I thought the promo he cut was fantastic. You know, Heyman still got it, obviously. Still knows how to work a good storyline, and yep. He really brought a lot of legitimacy to it. And I know you have a new story later, so we'll save it for then. But mm-hmm. He has... If he does stick around like he's supposed to, I think he'll add a lot with Lesnar off TV to eat up those weeks when he can't be on. If you have him out there every week just talking about what Brock wants, what Brock's going to do, and all that kind of stuff, I think they could really, really help get him over. So I don't know where the next few Raws are located. I'm hoping maybe one of them, you know, we get towards New York or Philly or Boston or wherever. So, yeah, he can really get a pop. Chicago even. Well, I guess they were just in Chicago, so I won't be there, but... just somewhere ECW-ish, so he gets a good reaction one of these weeks. But
right now, I'm going to go to WWE.com right now, and I'll go check the live events schedule and see where Raw has been.
Because I mean, it fits in with this whole where Brock is supposed to be like an invader and an outsider. Heyman fits that. I guess you take away from it a little bit by making him legal counsel and not just, you know, a manager or whatever. So it's like they're stuck in this weird in between spot with Lesnar and Heyman, where they want him to be a rebel. But they want it to be like a legitimate fighter with an agent and a financial, you know, it's like they're stuck between these two ideas that they have, and they don't know which way to go with it. Should we make him, you know, this guy who comes out in a suit with his agent, and they talk about all the perks and all the money they want, or are they supposed to be like an invader that's trying to, you know, mm-hmm. shake up the promotion and fuck everyone up? So they're kind of caught in the middle, I think, with that.
Yeah, I think they are as well. What would have been good is if Brock came, if Heyman came out the week before
Brock,
the week before Extreme Rules, and him and Brock stiff armed Funky. That right. would have probably worked if they were going to do it that way. All right, according to this, next week's Raw is in Pittsburgh.
Okay, so probably a little bit better.
And then the night after Over the Limit, they're in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, still close. So
close. And then the next one after that, which is what, Memorial Day night, are they actually doing a Raw Super Show? They're in New Orleans. So
okay. So the next couple we should get a little bit better. If he is there live, should get a little bit better reaction than he did
in
that backwater shithole, North Carolina. No offense to Graham. all right. Then it came time for a main event, CM Punk versus Lord Tensai, but John Laurinaitis comes out and says, we're now going to make this a handicap match, and he adds Daniel Bryan to it. So it's Daniel Bryan and Tensai versus Punk. Tensai spits the mists, hits the claw, and slams Punk to win the match. And, you know, Bryan obviously celebrates, but and then he hooks on the yes lock as the show goes off the air. So let me ask you a couple questions. One, is Tensai doing anything for you yet? Two, should Daniel Bryan have gotten this pin instead of Tensai? And three, is it clear that Bryan's just eating up another week to this pay-per-view so they can build to a longer feud with Tensai coming off Over the Limit?
Question number one is, I like Lord Tensai. I have no problem with the character. What was number two again?
Should Bryan have gotten the pin?
Yes. Yes, Bryan should have gotten the pin. And number three, is Bryan a holdover?
Basically, just fill in a spot until they start a proper feud with Tensai.
Yeah, and that sucks. Because you know what? What they're doing right now on, I don't know where they got this. This must be in Punk's personal collection. But on WWE.com right now, they have a front page story. Styles and these other two dudes, the history of Punk and Daniel Bryan. And there's actually Ring of Honor pictures in here from their wars in, I would think, what, 2004, probably 2005. Punk with the, you know, his Second City Saint years when he had the awesome blonde hair, the bleach. But I always thought when he was a heel, he should have went to that. But and Bryan pretty much looks the same as he does now. I'm sure you were laughing then, but now it's your main event in a week from Sunday. That's going to make you some money. So
I did see that quick, and I think it is cool that they're referencing that and bringing up their history. So, I think it's great that I don't care what the reason is, and I don't care what happens. As long as they're going to give them, 20 minutes of pay-per-view time, I'm thrilled. So whatever the reason. But I think this just proves what we talked about last week. You thought Bryan may win the title. I think this proves he's not going to win. I think it's really just to set up Punk and Tensai down the line. Well, not even down the line, in next month. I think they wanted to build up Tensai a little bit more before putting him into a title feud so quickly. So I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I was just saying that there was a good possibility, at least when they first booked it, but I said I was not setting that in stone, and now I completely agree that that Punk will definitely win next Sunday. But I'll tell you, they're going to put on – I would be surprised they give you more than 20. I'm surprised they give you 30, 35 minutes. Why not? What do they got to lose? Who cares? We'll get into the other matches in a minute, but just let them go as long as they want. Mm. I mean, who cares? I mean, what do you got to lose? The longer they wrestle, the better the show's going to be. So don't fret it. Just let them go and, let them go and give us a show, man.
Right, exactly.
I think
they will too. I mean, it's a pretty – I think it's going to be a lighter card. So I think they're going to give them the time. I think why put them on pay-per-view and give them 9 minutes? I mean, I think they're going to give them – they gave them time on Raw. I think they'll give them a good 15 to 20 minutes to go ahead and work.
Yeah. So definitely go to WWE.com and check out this nice write-up.
Tonight is about control. Everything is about control. Tonight, I will maintain control with the Big Show, with Sable.
I don't do any tricks. I just dance on trampolines.
Imagine if he said that. In control with Sable and Dennis Stamp.
And me.
Oh, God. Get off that trampoline, Dennis. I want to be in control. Wow, we're diving right in quick, huh?
No, not yet.
Have to. All right, anyway. But yeah, definitely, I really am liking, on a side note, I'm really liking more and more as the days progress what they've done with this website. Mm. It's not just a throwaway crap site anymore.
No,
kayfabe nonsense. Yeah.
It's
awesome.
A good place to visit.
Yeah, it's very good. Take it some time, and it's still got the same WWE fluff junk, but it also has some really good stuff. And they're, I give Styles all the credit for this. I really do. He knows what people want to see, and pretty much Ring of Honor is the modern day ECW anyway. So I think.
Oh my God!
Thank you, Joey. Imagine that. Imagine if one night at a show like somewhere in Florida or whatever, and the old school lights go out and they come up and Dennis Stamp sitting in the middle, just like Pillman.
Now, did you watch the Are You Serious thing?
Which one?
With the they mock the I'm Not Booked with the Triple H puppet.
No. When did they do that one? Is that the most recent one?
I think so, yeah. It's actually on the Facebook page, Place to Be. It was posted earlier today. It's really funny. It's the last, minute or so. It's Road Dogg goes backstage because the puppet doesn't show up, and he goes backstage to find him, and they spoof the I'm not booked, and he says that's why he's not on the show. So it's pretty funny. So I'm thinking that they listen to our podcast, and...
Oh, I don't think there's any question they do.
Yeah, I think that's where it came from. So.
Which means I think the puppet needs to come on the show. Anyway, okay. So, yeah. God, so anyway, go to the website.
You do
the
Triple H puppet.
Anyway,
do I want to know what you do with your hand up Triple H?
Everybody thinks so anyway, so I might as well just – never mind. Anyway, go to WWE.com. It's a great site. Okay. Anyway, there's Raw. I don't know. Are we going to play it at the next vault? I don't know. You always find a way anyway. So, all right. So would you like to guess, Dog, what the rating was?
Dog? No. Francesco.
I mean Michael. What do you think, Mikey?
all right. Let's see. What was last week? Was it 3-4?
It was a 3-4 one last week. What do you think, Dennis, of the ratings? Mentioned two of them to the talk to Dennis Sports Talk Show.
I'm not involved.
Oh, damn Bulls. Derrick Rose not involved.
All right. I'm going to say 305.
303. Last week was 333. So, yeah, this rating was is pretty bad. 4.31 million viewers, a 12% decline from last week's average of 4.88 million viewers. Fewest viewers in a month going back to April 9th.
Well, I think the writing was on the wall when it was official that Brock pretty much wasn't going to be on the show. I think people tuned out. So yeah. I'm curious if that had to do more with the booking of Brock over the last 2 weeks or that it was obvious that he was going to be off due to the suspension. So,
right.
Do they have the breakdown there? Like, does it show if it was...
Well, this is... okay. They have the breakdown of number of viewers.
Okay, I meant by like hour. Because I'm curious if people found out he wasn't going to be on and tuned out. Or I'm just curious if he really plays a role in this or if it's just a down week. I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's see. First hour, 4.43 million. Second hour, 4.19 million. Now, last week, the Raw after Extreme Rules, hour one was almost 5 million viewers. But that's obviously because they wanted to see the – and then hour two dropped to 4.77. Now, despite the drop-off in ratings and viewership, Raw ranked number one in cable on Monday night. Even more than the NBA playoffs, and it was in key number one in key demos during the first hour, but slipped in the second hour.
I mean, I think at some point we need to stop just comparing the ratings to the old days because I think it's just different right now. I think yes, you can say oh, it's half the audience, it's a whatever, you know, a third of the audience that was watching all of wrestling at that time, and mock them. But I think the cable landscape has changed now. I think and even the broadcast networks. I mean. I was reading a story about, you know, I was talking about like Parks and Recreation and 30 Rock maybe not coming back because the ratings are so low. And, you know, a show that got canceled like 8 years ago, Watching Ellie, the one with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, was doing better ratings than shows that are on now. And that got canceled because of low ratings. So my whole point is I think ratings, there's so many different channels and niche channels and DVR and everything else just really drives down ratings anyway. So, a 304 still wins the night, so maybe we shouldn't look at a 304 as being a bad one, like we have been.
Well, yeah, I mean, you just gotta, you can't go back to be like, well, the Raw in 99 was like a 7. Oh, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, right. You know, you're talking about apples and oranges here, and you can't be like, well, you know, in 2000, you know, you can't be doom and gloom like, well, you know, the Nitros in 2000 got 2.8s and 2.9s. Well, again, it's apples and oranges here. You can't compare, you know, 13 years ago. It's just the way it is now, and mm-hmm. ratings are not a problem anymore. Raw is not going to go off the air, so who cares what the ratings are? It's not going to go away. So just keep watching.
Right, exactly. You know? They're good enough for USA. They're good enough for the night. And there's enough crossover with the network anyway. So I don't think they're really in jeopardy. But we'll see. I mean, you know, it's obviously the popularity is down. I mean, there's no arguing that. But I just don't think the slaving to the numbers is really as important as it used to be.
No, it's not. Raw's not going
Time
anywhere.
To play the game!
Soon. And, you know, maybe and I'll play all the games that Road Dogg and Josh Matthews don't want to play in Are You Serious? So, yeah, I mean, just watch the show. It's not going anywhere. There's nothing to compare it to. So just don't bother. And, you know, 4-point-something million viewers is not small. I mean, it's a lot of people, you know. 4-point-something million viewers right. is not lousy.
No, it's still a lot.
So, anyway, I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Okay. All right, SmackDown. Let's run it down.
Yes.
Sheamus and Randy Orton versus Chris Jericho and Alberto Del Rio never happens as a big brawl breaks out. AJ defeats Caitlyn in a physical match. Daniel Bryan comes out after the win and teases AJ, says he's looking forward to moving on from her and going to Caitlyn instead. Daniel Bryan beat Big Show with help from Johnny Ace. Bryan had shown the yes lock and Laurinaitis calls for the bell quickly, so looks like they're going to maybe move on to an Ace show feud. Well, I kind of like how he has concurrent feuds going on. It makes it a little more spread out instead of just feuding with one guy.
Right.
Ryback squashed Heath Slater. Teddy Long comes out as the special ring announcer, and Antonio Cesaro defeated Alex Riley. And it's not in these spoilers, but the other one I read has a whole thing about how Oksana told Teddy, oh, we're just friends, but me and Antonio are lovers, so to rub it in his face. So that the embarrassment of Teddy continues there. Orton defeated Alberto Del Rio by DQ. Alberto had the arm breaker applied and wouldn't break the hold, so they caused a DQ there. R-Truth defeated Jack Swagger, so it looks like they're going to trade the wins back from the tag champs and the challengers. Mm-hmm. The new team I like and you like as well, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young defeated Santino and Zack Ryder.
Mm-hmm. We have a story about them.
Okay, cool.
Later, so.
Matt Sarekha spoke with Damian Sandow about why he chose not to compete last week against Derek Bateman. Sandow talks about lightning everyone and being their savior. I don't know if you got a chance to catch that on SmackDown last week. It was pretty cool. He was good. I liked his little entrance and his...
I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I got to check it out. I heard he's been exceptional on the mic, so looking forward to that.
Brodus Clay got another win, squashing Hunico. And Sheamus and Chris Jericho on the main event. Del Rio runs in for the DQ. Orton comes out, and they all brawl. So.
Okay.
There's your SmackDown.
Yes, and you can check that out, of course, on Sci-Fi on Friday night at 8 o'clock. So. And you can't even compare the SmackDown ratings either. I mean, nobody cares. These shows aren't going anywhere. The whole premise of JR's and my little rant here is that these shows aren't going anywhere, so the ratings are irrelevant. You know, it's just something else more for people to talk about, and that's fine. But nobody should, you know, go
bonkers. I mean, at what point do we stop worrying about the business part of it? I mean... Mm. You know, the biggest argument of everything that's going on with Brock is, well, I mean, some people are just legitimately upset that he lost. But when you get a lot of these people complaining about they're blowing a lot of money, and there's this other podcast that do it, like specifically Live Audio Wrestling. I like their show. I listen to all their shows. But they're really obsessed with the whole, oh, they're blowing all this money. They're costing themselves so much money. It's the biggest pissing away of money since the invasion, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what do you care, honestly? I mean, if you're bitching about the product because it's not as enjoyable or entertaining creative-wise, that's fine. But... To sit there and complain about financials and how the business is doing, I don't know. To me, I don't get it. I don't see why we have to care about that. You there? Looks like we lost Scott for a minute, so we'll entertain ourselves.
There we go.
Okay, he's back. I thought I was going to vamp.
No, there was some type of... you just vanished for some reason. The Skype came up with some weird... Some weird error thing, but that's
well,
okay.
Well, this is what I was going to play to entertain us. Hang on.
I get no kick from Ukraine.
I remember that song from 1940.
I don't know. Did you hear about any of what I was saying?
I heard you say that the people are in the business.
I just say people are too
concerned about the business anymore.
Right, yeah. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about if they're blowing money or what they're doing. I mean, to me, just focus on if you like enjoy the product, if it's creative, you know, if you like the creativeness, you like the storylines. If you don't, that's fine. Bitch about it all day and night. But don't worry about if they're pissing money away. I mean, honestly, what do you care? I mean,
yeah, that's not your problem. Yeah,
unless you're a stockholder.
Yeah, exactly. If you have the, you know, what is it now, 1050 or something? You have some, don't you? Don't you have a couple shares?
I don't know. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Anyway, I don't. All right, so three matches set for Over the Limit.
The only stock you own is a B&O Railroad from when it was being built.
Well, yeah. I put some money in the Gold Rush, too. all right, so Over the Limit, which is a week from Sunday in – and how ironic is this, though, in Raleigh, North Carolina? I mean, it really is pretty funny if you think about it. Three matches are set. Of course, the WWE Championship match, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. John Laurinaitis taking on John Cena, who was only on the screen, as we saw last week, this past Monday. And the four-way for the World Heavyweight Championship, Sheamus, Randy Orton, Alberto Del Rio, and Chris Jericho. And I think this was the stupidest booking idea that I've seen. Why, for the love of God, if you don't think Alberto Del Rio is worthy of anything on his own, cut the guy loose.
Right.
All right. I mean, he's won money in the banks, but no one's giving him a shake. I mean,
it is weird. I mean, he won the Rumble, then he got dicked out of the title at WrestleMania. Then he wins it the next month the whole thing with Christian. Mm-hmm. Then he finally cashes in, and then he loses it right back to Punk. It's like they never trust him to actually carry these matches or shows, and then he got hurt finally, but. And even wasn't the December show? Didn't they throw him into a three-way or something at TLC? Wasn't it when there's some nonsense there too?
Well, he won the belt at SummerSlam in the he cashed in Money in the Bank. Then he lost it to Cena at Night of Champions. Then he won the three-way Hell in a Cell.
Right.
But no one remembers that because that was the whole Miz or Truth run-in with Triple H and all that jazz. And then
lost it back at Survivor Series to Punk.
Then he lost it at Survivor Series to Punk. So. And then he was in a three-way with Miz It was Miz, Del Rio, and Punk in the TLC.
So, I mean, he really hasn't had a chance outside of the match with Cena. Mm-hmm. He really hasn't had a singles main event match.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time they're going to, they swerve it. So I don't know. I don't know why they don't have the faith in this guy. And this is going to be like the third match really from the top when you think about it. Because Punk Bryan's higher and Cena Ace is higher. So just odd. I don't know.
Yeah.
I liked your point from earlier.
Yeah, I don't know why. Why don't they just – yeah, you and I were talking earlier. Mm. Why don't they just have – if they want – why don't they just put Jericho and Orton in a separate match and make it a number one contenders match? I mean, or something like that. But why do you got to blow a four – you know, why do you got to give all – put all this in here? I feel like you're not giving me either Sheamus or Alberto Del Rio any credit to put on their own world title – world heavyweight title match. Just let them go, man.
Yeah.
You know, why do you got to glutton this match together? You've taken two guys out. You're going to have to stick at least three more matches on this show.
Well,
you've only got another week and a half to do it.
Well, we're probably going to get a tag match, I'm thinking. Rematch, I'm guessing. Tag title rematch.
So you're thinking
Swagger and Ziggler.
Against Truth and
yeah, it seems like they're heading that way.
Probably Big Show and Cody one more time.
Yes, yep, it definitely sounds like that.
And then, I don't know. I mean...
maybe a Divas match or...
Oh, yeah, they've already announced Layla and Beth Phoenix.
Okay, that's right. So there you go. So I think that rounds out the card pretty much. So.
All right, so there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just think it's a waste. And I hope that it gets less time than – my only scare at this pay-per-view is that Punk and Bryan get stiffed out of – like, I don't want to see what happened. The only reason I'm using this example is because it just popped in my head. I don't want to see again what happened to Ray, Angle, and – Orton at WrestleMania 22, where you had a three-way world heavyweight championship match on a big stage, and it was 9.5 minutes.
I think they'll get the time just because of the way the show is laid out. I just, you know, and I asked you about this earlier, and I'm going to ask you again right now on the spot. Mm-hmm. Do you think they've lost faith in Sheamus, and this is their way of getting the belt onto Orton without Orton defeating Sheamus clean?
No. I think Orton will get the belt eventually. I don't think he's going to get it on Sunday night, though.
Or even maybe Jericho winning it through some cheap measure, and then Orton feuds with Jericho for the title.
I feel that's a bigger. I think that's a more viable option.
I mean, right now, would you say is Sheamus walking out with the belt at that show?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you think they've lost faith?
I think it's just time for them to move on to something else. I think they just had a short attention span. Well, here's the thing. You've thought all along that going back to the Rumble that Sheamus was plan B anyway. So maybe now it's like, all right, plan B's done. We've had enough.
Right.
All right, well, let's go back to what we really wanted
to do. No, I mean, I really thought that they wanted him to be the face of SmackDown. But I don't know if because of the way, you know, it got off the shaky start at Mania, because everyone's pissed off with Bryan, you know, if they feel like maybe they just got to pull the plug and reboot a little bit and maybe go back to Sheamus later in the year. That's why. I don't know. It seems a little bit like they're losing some faith in him. That's all.
Regardless of Sheamus, and I like Sheamus a lot, the guy that's getting screwed the most is Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. He's the one getting stiff the most. I don't like using – I think there's only so much transition you can use for Jericho. I think it's time to just give these guys some, I just don't understand why they just can't do Sheamus and Del Rio by themselves. I just don't understand why.
Well, the thing too that maybe shows you a little bit of lost faith in Sheamus is last month at Extreme Rules, you know, one of the wins in the best of three was a DQ. Then he tapped, or he passed out, you know, whatever the hell happened.
He passed out.
Yeah. Passed out in the S-lock, and then he defeated Bryan, and Bryan gave him a legit match. So, you know, it's not like they had him go out there and really beat him cleanly, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting, honestly. We'll see where they go, and maybe we'll see if any more news comes out over the next couple of weeks before we get to the pay-per-view. But
yeah, we'll make – and, of course, on next week's headline show, we'll make our picks. All right, why don't we take a break? When we come back, we will go over the news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. We still have PTB Nation's Asshole of the Week and some sports tidbits as well. So let us now it's after the mid-tag match on Raw. Now we'll go to the long commercial break. Jared will have a Subway spot or whatever the fast food pimp now all the time. Bring me Jared from Subway. I guess Popeye's popcorn shrimp or whatever the hell it is. Anyway, let's take a break and hear from our friends at WrestleChat.net. Because...
Oh, hi, folks. I'm here in this appropriate acoustic environment to rehearse the Russian national anthem with my favorite Soviet Union tag team partners, Nikolai Volkov and Boris Zhukov. You ready, guys? Okay, I don't plan to hit it that hard, but I'll do my best. I get no kick from Ukraine.
Hey, that's not the Russian national anthem.
I know that. It's just a little joke to warm up the crowd. Give us a break here. Okay, here we go.
Hey
yourself. I know it's not the Russian national anthem. What is it?
You play the Polish national anthem.
Well, send your postcard directly to him. Anyway, we're still warming up. Here we go now. A one and a two and... Perestroika and Glasnost, I dig them the utmost. And how is your sister tonight?
Hey, we got it!
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. Wrestle Chat, it's where it's at.
WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling. They have an outstanding cache of news stories, all sorts of categories, WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA, MMA, and all sorts of other great topics. They, of course, have the podcast. MMA! They, of course, have the great podcast with the Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez.
But do they play the Foolish National Anthem?
The Foolish... And how is your sister tonight? And, of course, they have a great message board as well. And while you're perusing WrestleChat.net, take a look to the right. You'll see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go right to the soon-to-be 126-volume archive. That is the Place to Be podcast. So, WrestleChat.net. It's where... It's that. You know, JR, cranking in the event center right now, is the WWE Hall of Fame piece of Nick Bockwinkel, former AWA world champion.
I can't believe you're awake doing the podcast.
That's why my internet was starting to crap out. Because, okay. But anyway, I'm watching actually the tremendous match, which Bockwinkel lost the championship in 1986 to a very young, bloody Kurt Hennig. This is a great match. Now, JR, do you know where you can find out if this match is on Mr. Perfect's DVD?
I'm sure there's some DVD set out there, but I wouldn't even know where to start.
No. You know where you go? You go to the great, thehistoryofwwe.com. It's purveyor and very good friend of ours, Graham Coffin. Outstanding research site. JR, you and I have been using his site for years when it comes to anything you and I have written.
And a lot of our readers and listeners come from his site. That's where they found us.
Exactly, and we thank them for that. We thank Graham for that. It is an unbelievable site, folks, and it was great, you know, 7 years ago when it was still fairly small. But now he has expanded. He has a full WWE site, WCW, ECW, Old Crockett, and now he's expanding his TNA and Ring of Honor sections, columns, reviews, just all sorts of stuff, card results, fresh off the wallpaper in his bathroom. It's just an unbelievable research site. So anytime you need it, it's there for you. The history of WWE.com, purveyed by our good friend Graham Coffin. You'll never be disappointed. It's just an outstanding research site.
And whatever's on his bathroom wall is better than your Dewey Beats Truman newspaper that you purchased the day of that annual.
Yes, exactly. Yes, of course.
Okay, and if you're looking to where you can also listen to this show, and you know, if you listen to it now by downloading it and taking up space on your iPod, or you're on the road, you don't have a chance to download it, you can just hit up Stitcher.com or get the Stitcher radio app on your iPad, iPhone, Droid, and listen to the most recent show. And if you, I actually did check on the iPad, there is the most recent 10. So if you do have an iPad and you check it out on there, you can listen to the most recent 10 episodes. And iTunes itself has our full archive. So if you're looking for any episode of the 126 tremendous Place to Be podcasts, you can find them all there. Now, Scott, not only can you listen to us there, but tell us where you can read us.
Well, it is the birthplace of the PICs, and that is the awesome Place to Be message board, bigelow34.proboards.com. It is where you and I cut our teeth and where we started.
I believe you cut your teeth in Roanoke with the other tobacco.
Well, I survived the mudslides. We've been there since
2007. Yes,
fall of 2007. It is just a tremendous site. Please go to it. You know, we have lots of discussions, sports, music, of course, lots of wrestling. You could see JR's and my extensive and internet famous WWE pay-per-view reviews. The last one up is One Night Stand 2007. We'll be getting Vengeance 07 up soon. I got to throw that in there again. And we have a short WCW archive. And I got to mention something after why we really much can never continue that. I'll tell you why in a minute. And all sorts of great stuff. We have the PTB Sports Movies Tournament. Are you seriously playing the song? Oh, God.
Scott Criscolo and John Smith, Feud of the Love of Pocahontas.
I thought only Matt Rotella owned this. Oh, God. Anyway, that's a very interesting music bed tonight. Could Lee Marshall do the Nitro parties with this, with this theme? Okay. So, the PTB message, we're doing the sports movies tournament. We're doing all sorts of great stuff. So check out our message board, please. We put all of our PTB podcast information on there, both the Asshole of the Week threads as well as our pay-per-view, our Vintage Vault feedback threads are on there. Hop onto it. Bigelow34.proboards.com. It is the written home for your Place to Be podcast.
Guess what returned today as well is the J-Roz Bigelow Superstars recaps.
Ah, yes, yes.
Now, of course, they no longer have those full episodes on WWE.com, Greatest Matches, but I did find the next one I was up to on YouTube, had some time at work today, killed some time, and posted that. So that was the November 14th, 92 episode, if you're interested.
One more thing. For those that are interested, I was checking earlier. I'm not sure if anyone's writing them now, but JR and I, back when we pretty much spread ourselves across every continent, we did a weekly Raw and SmackDown recaps. Mm. We would love to have anyone who wants to hop in and write them. Please be our guest.
Yeah,
goes right under the current recaps thread. We don't need play by plays. We're not into that kind of thing. Don't kill yourself. Don't get writer's cramp or carpal tunnel or anything. But if you want to just do a nice recap of Raw or SmackDown, be my guest. Mm-hmm. You know what we really like? I was just thinking about this for anybody. I know JR, you have zero time. Anybody who has Ring of Honor, if you want to recap the Ring of Honor shows, please, we'd love for you to do that.
Yeah, anything really.
Yeah, but particularly anything that we can't watch. It'd be great to have so if you have, if you watch Ring of Honor consistently and you'd like to do a little write-up for us, we'd love to do it. But yeah, anything you want to write, we would love to have on there. So bigelow34.proboards.com is our great message board and the written version of the Place to Be podcast, in essence.
And now if you're looking for things to review or just to watch in general, you can hit up our buddy Jay Wimette. He's got one of the largest pro wrestling DVD and VHS collections I've ever seen in my life. And I also am the purveyor of the treasure trove in my new house, and he puts that to shame. So if you're looking for anything old, new, from 24/7, pay-per-views, Raws, Nitros, he's got it all. Dollar a disc when you order 10 or more, plus a couple bucks for shipping. And it all goes to a good cause. Jay's battling some real serious issues, lymphedema. Serious issue in his leg, and he can use your money to help defray the health costs. So if you have some money to spare and you're looking to buy some great wrestling DVDs or shows in general, check him out. He is on our Place to Be Facebook page. You can find him there, or Leg Up on Lymphedema on Facebook as well. It's Jay Wimette, Oumette. So check it out if you get a chance, and help the guy out. He's a good guy.
Yes, he is.
Okay. Also wanted to quickly, of course, plug, as I do every week, the DDP, Yoga for Real Guys. He is blowing up right now. His whole story about the dude Arthur, who was a former military guy, who couldn't walk, couldn't even move, and he started doing the yoga using a chair, and now he's in really good shape. And the story is just all over the internet right now. And he's actually, DDP just tweeted that he's going to be a Good Morning America tomorrow. As well in the first hour. So he's excellent. Really taken over. And, I checked in already 3.5 weeks. I'm down 5 pounds through this. So it is a hell of a workout. Check it out. I know our buddy Steve Willie, got his name right this time, was interested in it. A couple other guys on the Blog of Doom, we're talking about it today as well. So definitely, if you're looking for a new workout, highly recommend it. It's very good, and you'll definitely get your sweat on. So check that out.
Yes.
Okay. And we do want to just take a quick moment to talk about our good friend James Price, whose father passed away earlier this morning from liver cancer. It was a quick quick loss for him. I think he was just diagnosed in November, so everything happened really fast. You know, Jim's one of my good friends. I've known him since second grade, and we've been close friends since then. So anyone just, you know, send a prayer out him and his mother's way. Only child, so it's just him and his mom now. He is very close with his dad, so sad news that came across today.
Yes, I've known Jim as long as I've known you, so it'll be, what, almost 9 years in August. Jim's a good guy and very funny. He's got some interesting quirks, and you know, my prayers, and I actually was at my church tonight, and I lit a candle for Jim tonight. So, it's going to be sad because, a lot of things when I drive through visiting you remind me of him, and his dad actually. So, from street signs and just little things. So, my prayers go out to you, Jim, and your mom. So very sad, very sad. But at least you hate to say anything like this, but you know, any kind of cancer is not fun. So
no, and it sounded like nice. You know, Jim, we were texting back and forth earlier, and it sounded like he was in a lot of pain. He was really having trouble breathing, and it seems like it escalated quickly over the last couple of days. So liver cancer is a tough one. If you get that, it's really hard to come back from, and it acts quickly. So
yeah, it's probably one notch or two below pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. So he's probably in a better place now, pain free. So our thoughts and prayers to Jim and his mom. So, all right, let us now hop into the news and notes segment brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And this first story, JR, is for you and for Graham, and actually for everybody on PTB Nation, because everybody thinks I treat this guy like dirt. And I pretty much do. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because a lot of this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and I want to call him out on it. Okay. 2011 WWE Hall of Fame inductee Hacksaw Jim Duggan recently sat down with PW Torch in an exclusive interview. He sat down to discuss the drug arrest with the Iron Sheik in the late 1980s and how he admitted he had marijuana but was unaware that the Sheik had cocaine and a bunch of other things. So here's his quote about the arrest, okay? Quote, I don't think I ever regained the momentum I would have had before the arrest with the Iron Sheik. I think I was on the fast track before the arrest. I think I would have been world champion, intercontinental, or tag team champion. I never regained the momentum. I think a lot of guys would have totally crushed their career, but I was lucky enough to survive it and actually thrive after the arrest. Okay, tell me if that makes any friggin' sense whatsoever. He thinks his momentum was crushed, but then he says he thrived after it.
Well, he thrived.
He lost momentum. He lost, what, two matches on TV in three friggin' years?
Yeah, but he was never pushed more than as any kind of serious threat. When he came in 87, it was clear they were using him. They had big things planned. He wasn't really the goofball that he'd become. So I can kind of see what he's saying. I think he maybe would have had an IC title reign in there if Vince felt he could fully trust him. But, you know, he can't really complain. I don't think he is about the run he had. He had a solid long run. I'm sure he made a ton of money. So, you know, it is what it is.
I'm sorry. He was kept and Sheik was fired. So obviously his momentum, he was a lot more important to them than he thinks they were. But anyway.
Well, they were both fired. Then he was brought back.
No. For a while, here's another thing. Here's his return after he was fired.
What?
I got my 2x4.
I'm talking over this. He doesn't deserve his theme tonight. For a while,
you asked for it. You don't put the story in.
I didn't think I would be given an opportunity to come back to WWE, he told Wade Keller. My good friend Jake Roberts called him. No wonder he was pulled over. My good friend Jake Roberts called me. I was screwed and would never. This doesn't make any sense. Well, it'll go to the source. Would never be brought back. So I thought that was going to be the end of my career with Vince. But then I made the call to Dusty after Jake called me.
They got to put those guys in Legends House. This is what we need. Sheik, yeah. Duggan, Roberts.
I made plans to go down Scott Hall.
I don't know. She just acts real funky.
That's Duggan, Jake. It's not a she.
What the hell is this shit? Got chocolate or something off?
I don't know, but Sheik just smoked it. I made plans to go down and see Dusty Rhodes in Atlanta. Before I made that move...
Dirty black dog.
That Bruce Pritchard called me from the office and told me to keep my head down. And they were going to bring me back. What does that even mean? They brought me back, but never gave me the huge push. Okay. And then he talks more about the issues he had with Austin in 95 with the whole, you know, beating him for the U.S. title in 15 seconds and all that kind of jazz. So.
Okay. A few new stories that just came across I'll read before we get to yours. These are newer ones. With John Cena turning 35 recently, this talk with going after that after going with names like Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, and now John Cena, the next top guy in duty may be Vince McMahon's last handpicked face of the company. So, interesting. I think they see Punk as almost like a... we can bring to Bret a lot. It's kind of not a guy that's going to lead, be the main focus or face ever, but he's always going to be like up there and, be considered a top guy. That's how I see it anyway.
Right.
All right, next up. The Dirty Writing team knew about Paul Heyman's return this past Monday, but he has flown to Greensboro, North Carolina and hidden a trailer all day to keep it a surprise from everyone else. Vince McMahon let Punk know about it with the idea that Punk could tease a surprise on Twitter and help boost viewership. Now, I really like that. I thought it was a cool idea. Heyman has been involved with Lesnar's character for a few weeks, if not for the start, just not working through WWE. WWE reportedly didn't want Heyman involved to the point that last year when he did the WWE 12 deal with Lesnar was going on. At first it was going to be he was managed by Heyman in the game, but they wanted Heyman out. So looks like there's still some weird feelings last year at the time. In a scene on Monday's Raw Super Show, Paul Heyman returned and quit for Brock Lesnar, who he's representing in storylines. At one point, Lesnar himself quitting was to be on last week's show, but the angle got changed to Heyman doing it a week later. The actual angle of Heyman returning and quitting for Lesnar was changed over and over during the day, and in all of the changes, any mention of Lesnar and Triple H angle weren't until way into the second hour of the show. The entire Lesnar vs. Triple H storyline has been kept a secret, and only a few people know where it's going. Vince, Stephanie, John Laurinaitis, Triple H, Lesnar, and a few others. Even the writing team is not being let in on the direction. That seems very productive. Regarding the reported SummerSlam match, people in the company being told Triple H vs. Lesnar will not happen at the August pay-per-view, but sources report it is still scheduled. So,
I don't think it'll be at WrestleMania.
No, to me, that maybe that's going to be sooner.
Yeah, maybe Survivor Series. I don't know.
No, or sooner.
Oh, sooner.
And then may they still do Lesnar or Orton at SummerSlam, like there was the original plan.
Okay. Speaking of Lesnar, Heyman has also been retweeting several messages from fans and colleagues since returning on Monday, including one where a fan suggested a CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar feud. Considering that Heyman has strong ties with Lesnar and Punk, it will be interesting to see how the interaction may play out on TV. Some feel that a Punk versus Lesnar match will be the way WWE gets the title off Punk and onto Lesnar. Others feel Lesnar won't be champion as he won't be working live events.
Yeah, I mean, if he is champion, it'll be interesting what they do. They could just have whoever's the other champion, basically work all the shows and cover.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. I think that's why they have a big thing with, there's a lot of those kind of guys on SmackDown right now that could kind of fill the load. All right. WWE's SEC filing with the Securities and Exchange Commission has revealed the production costs for each of the WWE studios movies that the company has released so far. I'm not going to give you all of them. There's six licensed by them and that they licensed to other outfits, and seven that they self-distributed themselves. I don't know if you have the story in front of you. Of all the movies mentioned, WWE only profited on three of them.
I know See No Evil is one of them.
No.
Oh, really?
Nope. The first two Marines and Behind Enemy Lines 3.
Is that the Kennedy one? No. Who was that?
No, that was... DiBiase? That was Marine... Yeah, Behind Enemy Lines 2 was Kennedy. Okay. This one shocked me the most. Which one was the biggest money loser? Lost $6.5 million.
Condemned?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing it probably cost a lot to make, it seemed like.
That's what it was. So the Condemned lost the most money. And again, I don't think that's Austin's fault. I agree with you. I think it was just very expensive to make. Yeah. The second money loser was That's What I Am. Was that the one with Orton?
Yeah, and our Place to Be Nation member, Ed Harris.
Ed Harris, yes. And then the third loser, he's a loser, was The Reunion, which I heard was a fucking piece of crap. So from what I heard, it was the one legitimately bad John Cena movie. Like, the others are not terrible, but this one I heard was legitimately terrible.
You wonder at what point they're going to pull the plug on this, but it seems like they're pretty dedicated to it. So,
well, in 13 movies, they've spent $118.4 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of money to spend on direct-to-DVDs.
Well, now, I think direct-to-DVD is a fine market for them, especially if you do stuff like See No Evil, like that kind of niche market, cheesy, campy horror movies and stuff like that. I think that's okay.
Incidentally, The Chaperone cost $5.8 million to make, and Inside Out cost $5.1 million to make.
That was a lot of money for that bus.
Yeah, exactly. The last one, of course, that came out was Bending the Rules, which is the one that Edge is in, was in. So, the one that cost the most to make was the first Marine, which cost $20.2 million to make. That's because it was a shitload of explosions.
Yeah, as I say, a lot of pyro.
Cars blown up. And plus, actor, I mean, Robert Patrick was in that, and I'm sure he wasn't cheap. He didn't come cheap. That was $20.2 million. 12 Rounds cost $19.7 million.
Yeah, a lot of blowing up on that one, too.
Yeah, and then The Condemned cost $17.5
million. Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga!
Yeah, I don't think they'll put Booker T in a movie. if that's how it's going to end. Okay, here's something that's starting, and a little curious to see your thoughts on this. A new WWE viral marketing campaign is underway. The campaign, which states, "A revolution is coming," has launched on the WWE website and will be pushed more heavily starting on Monday. No word yet on if the campaign will air on television or whether it is promoting a superstar return debut involving the launch of the network or something else. The video, which is hidden on the WWE.com and appears randomly before certain video content on the site, appears to show flashes of citizen uprisings. What is your thoughts on this?
I've read, I think Scott Keith put on his blog that it's supposed to be a new show.
Okay. Maybe it's something Heyman's doing.
Probably not.
Yeah, no, being too... There I am being optimistic. Oh, I'll still leave me to be optimistic.
I know, right?
Okay.
I'm very sad. No longer optimistic. David Robertson just blew his first save.
Tight game tonight. What was it, 1-0 in the sixth? Was it still 1-0?
Yeah, but he just gave up. Well, he gave up... He had the bases loaded with no outs. He got one out, then he gave up a sack fly. And then Matt Joyce has hit a 3-run home run, so it's now 4-1.
Oh, no. Well, he back-to-back nights, too. Okay. There was a ton of discussion within WWE about Triple H accompanying Floyd Mayweather to the ring last weekend in Las Vegas. Most of the talk came from the fact that CM Punk wasn't allowed to accompany UFC fighter Chael Sonnen to the Octagon a few months ago in Chicago.
Chael Sonnen.
Chael? Is that what it is? Okay.
Diehard MMA fan over here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I admit it. Part of the reason why Punk wasn't allowed to work the UFC show is because they felt nobody would acknowledge Punk as a corner man, and it would hurt Punk's perceived star power. Triple H accompanied Mayweather to the ring, and outside of wrestling sites and WWE's own website, he didn't get much mainstream attention either. So,
I thought it was more that they view UFC as more competition. They didn't really want Punk working for them. Whereas Triple H, you know, boxing, they kind of work more closely with.
Yeah, that's true, too. As noted earlier, okay, WWE champion CM Punk threw out the first pitch and sang during the seventh inning stretch the other night at the Cubs-Braves game at Wrigley. WWE camera crews were there filming, likely for the upcoming Punk DVD release. Punk's girlfriend Lita and friends Cole Cabana and Cliff Compton were spotted at the game with him. I didn't realize he was still going out with Lita. Is he going through, like, every diva?
I think so. I think that's his goal.
That's his goal. For those that don't know, he's already dated Maria, Beth Phoenix. Did he go out with somebody before Maria? I thought he went out with somebody
before. Yeah, there's been a few.
Yeah, there's been a few. But those are the three main ones. So, yeah, he was at the Cubs game the other night. Come on. Okay, here we go. Next story. Something we mentioned during Raw. It's nothing that crazy. We noted earlier on our program that Mason Ryan's role as Dolph Ziggler's new bodyguard was up in the air after it was tested out at Raw live events this weekend. Mason briefly appeared at a backstage segment with Abraham Washington on Raw, and a source reports that Ryan will actually be part of that storyline with him and Epico, Primo, mm-hmm. and Rosa Mendez. Apparently, officials decided to keep Ziggler with Vicky and Swagger. Because there was possible, I guess there's a rumor going around that Ziggler was going to join Abraham Washington's crew.
I think you started that rumor last week.
I probably did. Okay. We're talking about our tag team there, Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. Well, Goldust was recently released by WWE mm-hmm. after working as a, quote, producer for the SmackDown brand. Word came out that an undisclosed incident at the April 24th SmackDown tapings in Grand Rapids led to his contract being terminated. Figure 4 Online, which is our buddy there, Brian Alvarez, reports that the belief is that Goldust was responsible for coming up with a spot on SmackDown, and the link is on WrestleChat.net if you want to see it. Yoshitatsu took a double-team powerbomb from Young and O'Neil. Tatsu landed bad, and the bump was said to look even worse live than it did on TV. Young and O'Neill were not in action on the May 4th SmackDown taping, but did work this week's tapings using a different finishing move. And that's why Goldust got the boot. Be honest with you, did you see it?
No, I did not. I tried to watch a video and it wouldn't load.
Yeah, the video is on WrestleChat.net, and actually the camera angle cuts really quickly, so you don't really see the finisher that well.
Okay.
But yeah, they smacked the shit out of him pretty good, but I don't know. It didn't seem like that big a deal. But
I think it's just the idea of having these two green guys go out there and do that move. It's kind of,
yeah,
you know, it's a risk you can't really take. So it may be a thing where he's fired and then they bring him back in 6 months. Who knows?
Yeah. Here's an interesting for those that are that have any.
I don't do any tricks.
Well, apparently neither does Titus O'Neil and Darren Young. So.
Oh, Dennis, nice tights. Why do you have a cockroach on your ass?
Imagine that he has like a cockroach in his tights. That's tremendous. Okay. WWE will be extending their Monday. This is for those that have Raw tickets sometime in the near future. WWE will be extending their Monday night tapings effective July 2nd. The company will begin tapings an hour and a half before the show is set to go live at 9 o'clock on USA. Currently, the tapings start a half hour to 45 minutes prior to going live. So if you have Raw tickets, you're going to go. The show is going to start at 7:30 instead of at actually, it'll start even earlier than that because you usually do dark matches. Mm. If you're talking about a taping,
yeah,
then you're talking about, you know, probably like almost before 7.
You know, I'm really wondering if that is the new show.
It's highly possible. Revolution. That would have had a Revolution thing is. Yeah, very interesting. Okay. Here's the big story that we were talking about involving the newest arrival on Monday on Raw. Okay. According to PW Insider, which is Dave Scherer and those guys, here's the latest on Paul Heyman. He will be appearing semi-regularly through SummerSlam, at least SummerSlam. The idea is to have a reenactment of the actual legal battle the two sides had years ago between Brock and WWE.
Hmm.
This would see Lesnar sue for breach of contract, which would include all sorts of viral campaigns to get the storyline over to the masses as a legitimate issue. The deal came together over the last week, as the original plan for Lesnar and the company did not include Heyman. He is not expected as the on the road full-time for the company and is only expected to be involved in the Lesnar angle and not in WWE creative.
We'll see.
One reason
we'll
Heyman
changes.
Exactly. One reason Heyman returned was to work with Lesnar, but he also to potentially work with CM Punk down the line. That is very good news.
Mm-hmm.
The two have shown a lot of mutual respect for one another over the years, but have never got the chance to work together on camera.
Right.
Punk knew Heyman was coming to Raw as he teased all day about knowing something, and there was a big surprise in the show, and then he tweeted the picture of Heyman backstage. The younger members of the company's roster warmly greeted Heyman last night, since so many of them know him from WWE Developmental when they were there. The others only knew of Heyman through his reputation running ECW and working for WWE. I'm sorry. Regardless of what anybody says, bringing him in any type of creative capacity can only bring good things.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think there's any way about it.
We'll see. It could get there.
Yeah. This story's for you, JR. Alberto Del Rio's personal ring announcer, Ricardo Rodriguez, was traffic stopped for speeding while on his way to film this week's Raw, according to TMZ. Rodriguez put the pedal to the metal. He allegedly clocked 70 in a 55 zone when cops pulled the star over into the Greensboro, North Carolina Coliseum where Raw was being held. Rodriguez was given and accepted a $200 speeding ticket with no objections. The ticket was so expensive due to Rodriguez speeding through a construction zone.
Nice work, Ricardo.
Yeah, I wonder if he was right. I wonder if he was driving. I wonder if he was driving the whatever that was. That a Bentley that he drove? I don't remember what he drove into. Okay, I believe this is another storyline kind of... all right, well, this is more about Brock and Heyman. Ever since Brock Lesnar made his return to the WWE, there's been one question on everyone's mind. Where's Paul Heyman? It isn't a secret that having the gift of gab isn't one of Brock's talents. Heyman returned tonight, cut a promo. In his promo, he mentioned how different the WWE is compared to when he first represented Brock 10 years ago, which kind of led to some crickets from the crowd.
Yes.
He took
because
shots.
They weren't watching then.
Yeah, exactly. Took shots at the WWE for being so image conscious and read an official statement from Brock explaining that he is quitting and never coming back. Heyman is going to be used in Brock's mouthpiece to limit Brock's acting. Also, since Brock's contract has him limited to live appearances, Paul Heyman will be used to keep the WWE storyline active, interesting, and not forgotten. To add to the reality aspect of the Brock Lesnar storyline, WWE moved Brock from the Raw Superstar section to the alumni.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman also posted a video on WWE's website explaining the company owes Brock Lesnar millions.
Good stuff. It'll be an interesting angle. See if it gets over with the fans. It's a tough angle to get over live, you know what I mean? So we'll see.
Right. Yeah. Yes, that is true. this is sad because I can't believe this is still going on. Martha Hart filed an updated lawsuit against Vince and Linda McMahon and WWE in the ongoing battle over WWE's usage of Owen Hart's name and likeness. The new claims include, quote, Owen's name would have reverted back to strictly his usage after his passing, that Owen's legal name is not a ring name, and therefore WWE does not have the rights to use, market, and promote that name in their materials and DVD releases, that WWE released 8 DVDs and other items, including the encyclopedia, without proper payments to Owen Hart's estate per his contract with Titan Sports, which required that royalty payments continue after his death. WWE used original intellectual property such as family photos without the estate's permission. That the Owen Hart Foundation has been hurt its unwanted association with WWE through their usage of Owen Hart video material. Linda McMahon filed a motion on May 2nd asking for more time to respond to the updated complaint. There was a settlement conference on the 4th via telephone to try and settle out of court. No word on how that went. A court date for a potential settlement was set for this September.
All right, let's not really talk about this.
I don't
think anything we say can be good or bad. So,
yeah, it's just wanted to report that. That's all. Okay, and finally, Ezekiel Jackson, who prides himself in being the personification of domination, has struggled mightily since dropping the WWE Intercontinental title to Cody Rhodes in August. Once a fixture on SmackDown, the Guyanese grappler, whatever that means. Is that Guyana? Guyanese, yeah. I guess. Has been relegated to WWE superstars and non-televised bouts since dropping the strap, the majority of which he has lost. Earlier this year, WWE Creative had planned to push Jackson again, but his behavior backstage derailed it. Appearing boastful over Creative's plan to renew his
Braggadocious.
Jackson pushed his colleagues' buttons to the point where a fight almost broke out in the dressing room at a SmackDown taping in January. Vince McMahon caught wind of the incident backstage and immediately entered the dressing room before Jackson and his coworkers could come to blows.
Ahmed, get the fuck off John Cena before you hurt him. Get the fuck out of my locker room.
Ahmed. Who said you could be Moadib? The push, which was expected to commence with a strong showing at the Royal Rumble, did not come to fruition because of an order from the WWE CEO to not push Jackson due to his behavior backstage. This also explains his downward spiral in recent months. So, although it's kind of hard because, like you said, the wins and losses on the TV shows are so random and like all over the place that, you know, how the hell do you even know, mm-hmm. you know, who's on the shit list and who isn't, you know, so there's your news and notes brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And now it is time for PTB Nation's most interactive segment.
What kind of disgusting, despicable?
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
At grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
As King Asshole Derek LaRue brings us in, it is now time to read your Asshole of the Week nominations, and I'm going to let you take the first one.
Oh, the one about Dennis Safazios? No. Oh, you mean the long one.
The novel written by Kieran Bolland.
Yes. Just to let everyone know once again, our defending Asshole of the Week champion is Delmon Young for lots of racial slurs, including calling a police officer Sugar Tits. I know Derek LaRue wishes he was Sugar Tits. Actually, he is Sugar Tits. He is Sugar Tits. Okay, I'll do the first two. Our man Safazio says, Dennis Stamp should get Asshole of the Week for trying to steal his ref shirt.
Well, that's okay, Safazio. I have one for him.
Okay. All right, Kieran Polland, otherwise known as?
The Hot Scott.
Okay. The senior management at Broxburn Academy.
Where's Harry Potter?
Yeah. Where's James Mander?
He's King James Mander here at Broxburn Academy.
For our final day at school, there is always something called Muck Up Day, where the students
muck
dress up.
Day. What's King James Man now?
Where the students dress up in costumes and basically muck up the school. I myself went as the Joker.
The fuck is up with you, Scots?
Muck Up Day has happened before in previous years, so it's not like
fishermen.
Fishermen. So it's not like the school cannot have been expecting it. We made a mess of the school by throwing flour, eggs, tomato sauce, lube. water balloons and stink bombs throughout the corridors.
Something definitely does not go with air.
Yeah. Yeah. We were thrown out within 10 minutes and all of us excluded. I'm not complaining about
Dennis,
that part.
Can you go clean up the lube? I squirted it all over the aisles.
What I'm complaining about is their reaction to what we did. They're acting like we reenacted the London riots of last year. At last year's muck-up day, a teacher nearly broke her leg by slipping on the floor because of the mess. And a few years ago, the sixth years went racing in their cars and nearly crashed into one another. Yet we're apparently the worst muck-up day ever, and the teachers have lost respect for us. They've also started rumors by stating that the school captain managed to sneak into the headmaster's office and sprayed tomato sauce over his chair when we were nowhere near his office.
And then Professor Snape came in and told us to clean up the lube.
Yes. And then I poured concrete into his Porsche. To top it off, they've tried to cancel the yearbook, which can't be done since starting production, to cancel the prom, which needs the prom committee's approval to be done, so, and they're refusing to do it.
Is this WCW, the fucking board of commissioners, the prom committees?
Yeah, what's fucking J.J. Dillon and Doug Dillinger coming out? Where's Doug Dillinger with the lube cleanup?
Oh, Lord.
Now they've canceled one of the buses taking people back home from prom, and if you haven't already paid, then you're stranded 50 miles from home. They're actually going to leave 100 people, most of them under 18, stranded at the very
expensive hotel.
Yes, at the very expensive hotel that we're going to be having the prom at. Well, they have the hotel where the Crockett Cup was. Yes. Maybe Flair could pay for it. It's petty and unresponsible at this
point. I'm sure he's attending really for a small fee of $17,000. It'll be a date for the prom.
Yes. What really bugs me is that some of us are bringing fifth years to our prom. I myself am taking one. And we need to make sure they get home safely or to the after prom party if there is one. Especially since it's not even their prom. Fair enough, we made a mess. But to overreact like this about something that can be easily cleaned up is really immature from the senior management. So the senior management at Broxburn Academy gets my vote for Asshole of the Week.
King James Manda issues a formal decree to allow the prom to occur. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for that rant, Karen. And I hope you take our ball busting in good faith.
Yes.
Our buddy Fax, people who keep interrupting me, causing me to get more behind. Okay.
Okay.
Jason Greenhouse. I'll grab the next one.
Okay.
Give you a break from King Broxburn.
Yes.
I got to go with the Phillies pitcher Cole Hamels. Him intentionally hitting Nationals rookie Bryce Harper and then admitting that it was on purpose was unprofessional and childish. Trolldish. Hamels' attitude of welcome to the big leagues, kid, is an ignorant jock move on his part. All the more reason for me to hate on Philly teams, players, and their douchebag fans.
Our man, J. Arsenio Di Amato. The Bolsheviks, Radulov, and Kostitsyn from the Predators, who got liquored up with Steve Allen the night before a playoff game and missed curfew. Yes, and then, of course, they got their ass kicked in five games by the Coyotes.
Ugh. Jay Hinchy, I have two assholes of the week. First, going to Phillies pitcher Cole Hamels for being a coward and hitting Nationals rookie phenom Bryce Harper. I was glad Harper owned him later by stealing home. Second goes to Phillies fans for booing Jason Wirth after getting injured on Sunday. I have family in Philly. I like the city overall and the sports wrestling history there, but come on, that's just low. I just don't understand why they need to act that way.
Our man Irv C., our buddy from the blog. I'm also going with that classy individual Cole Hamels. The CM Punk lookalike might be thinking GTS next time he goes up to bat.
Corey Ferreira, dirty creative for once again doing writing the Raw the day of the show. Stephanie cannot run creative for shit.
The master of not Midtown Comics. What's our place there? Newberry Comics. Austin Pfaff.
Mr. Pfaff.
Triple H for not properly kayfabing his injured arm. A sling? Come on. Also, the thumbs up of the week goes to Are You Serious for parodying Dennis Stamp.
Mike Wilkinson, I have to go with Cole Hamels as well. I've never been a fan of pitchers deliberately hitting batters in games. I applaud the Nationals GM for taking the fine and calling him chicken shit. I've never thought there was a place for it in the game. It's just an easy way for players to get hurt.
Okay. David C. I don't know who David C. is. He must be a... Do we know who David C. is? Is he a new...
Recommend, Brian. I feel like I should know, but I'm sorry, yeah. David.
Okay. David, your comment. I have to go with the state of North Carolina and the hillbilly asses who have an inability to evolve into decent human beings. I guess it's okay to marry your second cousin, just not your gay second cousin. And you argue about securing the sanctity of marriage. Well, look at the mirror, in the mirror, assholes. I guess your golden boy John Edwards was representing this sanctity when he knocked up his mistress while his wife was dying of cancer. Congratulations on the new amendment. Now you can go out on your cutoff jean shorts and camo and go back to watching cars make left turns for 5 hours. On second thought, it's hard to blame you since you probably couldn't read the amendment anyway.
All right, Dave. Sums up the thoughts of many. Yes. I think state of North Carolina needs to go in the Asshole of the Week Hall of Fame along with Jerry Sandusky. So
yes.
Not eligible to win, but they're honorary assholes of the week. But I think we have to go Cole Hamels. He was the overwhelming favorite this week. And this is stupid. This is just stupid macho nonsense. And, you know, when you have to tell people you're cool, you're not cool. When you got to tell people you're a tough guy, you're not tough. So
no, exactly.
And I was glad to see him get plunked, and then Bryce Harper stealing home was a nice touch, too. So,
right.
Cole Hamels is your asshole of the week.
Yep. And then the Mets, I don't know if they actually are in the midst of a sweep. Let's see. Let's take a quick... Well, we'll do that. We'll go to baseball in a minute. Okay, let's do some sports stuff. So you catch up on some things. We shall catch up on the NBA playoffs going on right now. Let's see if there's any games tonight.
Yes, the Heat knocked the Knicks out. They're done. And Memphis is up 50-37 nearing halftime, trying to stay alive. If the Clippers win, that series is over as well.
Yes. The Washington Capitals. Well, let's see. Let's go through the rest of the NBA schedule. As I mentioned earlier, last night there were four Game Fives, and four teams had a chance to finish series off, and only one did, and that was the Indiana Pacers, who blew out the.
Yeah. Well, we said it after Game One a couple weeks ago that you knew that was kind of the wake up call when Orlando stole Game One. Indiana was like, "Oh shit, we better try," and then that was pretty much it. So,
yep.
I'm guessing Stan Van Gundy's out there. And I'm already seeing rumors of either maybe the Knicks or Clippers if Del Negro gets canned.
Yeah, I don't see why he would. Kind of weird why he would, but
well, he's an awful coach.
but which is weird because he got them to the playoffs. But
no, but I think it's one of those in spite of playoff runs where you know if they didn't have him, maybe they could have been like a 2 seed or something.
Yeah, possibly. So tomorrow night, game 6 from Philly. The Sixers will try and finish off the Bulls.
Yeah,
Bulls.
I think they're going to win that game. They don't want to go back to Chicago tied.
No. And then game 6 in your neck of the woods, my friend, the TD Garden, where the Celtics will try and finish off the Hawks. They lead that series 3-2. And then, and I'm a little nervous, to be honest with you. Game 6 from the Pepsi Center in Denver, the Lakers lead 3-2. I think, want to see them finish it off last night. And that was bad that they didn't.
Even if they don't, though, I don't know. I can't see Denver winning two more. I think LA can win one of these two.
I certainly hope so. I'm a little upset that Bynum shot his mouth off and then they fucking didn't win. So if the Clippers win tonight, then that series is over. Mm-hmm. If the Clippers lose, game 6 of that series will be Friday night back at the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm surprised. This just seemed like a bad matchup for Memphis. I really thought they were a legitimate title team, but we'll see. They might not even get out of round one.
Mm. Yeah, it's gonna be very tough. All the mojo they had last season just didn't.
Just a bad matchup. You know, I think if they caught Dallas or even the Lakers, you know, if they had a different matchup, I think they could have really used their size. But the Clippers and Chris Paul's just really on fire right now. So it's just a tough matchup for them.
Yeah. In the NHL playoffs, as mentioned earlier, the Caps and the Rangers are going to Game 7. Caps hung on for a 2-1 win tonight. So one game remains, Game 7, Saturday night, 7:30 at Madison Square Garden. Winner gets the Devils in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I normally hardly ever root for the Rangers, but I would love to see them win this game because I would love to see another Rangers-Devils, which is pretty much a bar fight on skates.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll look forward to that.
Bring back the Western memories of 94.
Yes, the Western Conference Finals, don't know when they start, but it will be the Los Angeles Kings and the Phoenix Coyotes. I'd like to see the Kings keep going.
I hope so. I really do. I want Phoenix to move. I think it's stupid that there's a team there, and I don't want them. Now, I guess there's an owner that's vowing to keep them there or some nonsense, but I really want them to get moved to Quebec City. And if they advance the Stanley Cup Finals, I'm afraid that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'd be bummed because I'd love to see them go to Quebec and then hopefully the next step. And I would probably have to be a new building would be a team coming to Hartford because I'd love to hear Brass Bonanza all the time. Major League Baseball, quick update. The Mets swept the Phillies. They won 10-6 tonight. So it's just guys who have nothing to lose. And if they keep playing like this, great. If they hit a slump, then they hit a slump.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually fun, finally. And jokes aside, it's fun being a Met fan right now because, you know, they got nothing to lose. So I just go out and enjoy watching them. I'm going to go to see them in a few weeks at Citi Field. And it's just going to be fun to actually watch them again. No crap, no overpriced, bloated idiots. No more Madoff talk. No more ownership bullshit. No more of that stuff. Sandy Alderson's put together a relatively young
team. You know, we talked about it when we did our first baseball preview last year, that Sandy Alderson would be a good hire for that team and go in there and clean house a little bit. So
yeah, no, things are looking very good right now. So teams that are looking good. How about the Orioles, huh? Still kind of hanging around in the division. What do you think of that?
I don't know. They got to prove it to me first, but who knows? I mean, you know, we said the same thing about the Rays in 2008, and there they were. But I still don't think they have the pitching to hang Baltimore. I think it's been a little bit of smoke and mirrors. But Yankees let a really golden opportunity kind of go by the wayside tonight. And, you know, Robertson blowing that save to beat Tampa again a second night in a row, give them the loss. And then Boston's losing again. And let's see, Toronto won, but did Baltimore? They got postponed. So it would have been a good chance to gain another game and really move almost. I think they would have been in second if they won this game. So a tough loss to be leading 1-0 into the ninth and blow that game. But we'll see. Hopefully they bounce back tomorrow, Sabathia. Red Sox still in some trouble, of course, now they get this nonsense going on. Locally here with Josh Beckett went golfing before he missed his last start. And so people not happy about him in general. So a lot of discontent still in Red Sox Nation.
Yes. Other teams that are struggling.
Angels still.
Yeah, the Angels still, huh? You know, I mean, Pujols finally homered.
Yeah, but he's still not doing well.
But he's still not. I mean, he's hitting like a .190 or something. Yeah. Texas is still a machine right now.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers are still playing pretty well. Cardinals are pretty much the class of the Central.
I mean, since he's hanging around.
Cleveland leading the Central still.
Yep.
But again, this is very early on. I mean, a lot of teams have only played about 30 games. I mean, look, the Mets are a half game out. You know, yeah. I mean, I can get excited about that, but God knows what will happen in 2 months. So that's about it. The draft has ended. We won't get into much baseball for our football, at least for a couple months. That's pretty much it. I don't think there's anything else sports-wise we need to get into. Now the BCS, possible somewhat of a playoff system, which could be very helpful.
Did you have anything else you want to talk about, the Beastie Boys or anything? I know we touched on it briefly earlier.
Yeah, you know, it's sad. I mean, you know, 47 years old. It's just, and you know what? The cancer started on his salivary gland, which everyone thinks is such, it's salivary gland. You know, it's what Tony Gwynn had. Tony Gwynn has, and he's still getting treatment. And, you know, it sneaks up on you if you don't take care of yourself. So when you go to the dentist, if you have a good dentist like I do who, checks for those kind of things.
Replaces your dentures.
I got to get, you know, I get crowns. I have so much metal in my mouth. No.
Wood.
Yeah,
dentures.
Exactly. Well, hello. You know, I get the George Washington cherry tree special. They're very expensive, let me tell you. By the way, buy your war bonds. And, you know, just got to be, you know, you got to get checkups. You never know that thing on your tongue or, you know, you have some cut in the back of your mouth. You never know what it is. So the BC boys were very sad.
You're going to be doing a prostate check ad in the middle of the show.
You're doing one of those infomercials in the middle of the night. You know, it's you made me lose my train of thought now. What the hell are we doing? Talk about wooden teeth. That's right. The BC boys. Yeah. You know, they License to Ill was a groundbreaking album in the late 80s. And then obviously, Paul's Boutique was pretty, man. Had What You Want. That was a good song. But obviously, Check Your Head was a bit. And then, of course, you know, Sabotage kind of brought them to the masses in the late 90s. So it's going to be very sad. But cool thing the Mets did last Friday night.
Was cool.
They you know how players come out to songs. Every Met player came out to a different Beastie Boys song, came out to at bat. I know Ike Davis came out to Fight For Your Right. One guy came out to Paul Revere, which is that infamously great rap. And, you know, Brass Monkey, Rhyming and Stealing, song, you know, Sabotage, What You Want. It's gonna be very sad. Rest in peace.
And that effectively, ends their run as a band. I can't see them moving on in any way without him.
No, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't do anything with just two guys, and they won't replace him. So it's pretty much, it's gonna be just like Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. John Bonham died, and that was it. It was over. And then I think the same thing holds true here. So.
All right, so we'll go ahead and wrap things up for this headline show. Hope you enjoyed it. We hit the news. We talked a little bit about Over the Limit. Of course, I paid tribute to the great Adam Yauch and Waylon Price. Both may rest in peace. Both will be sorely missed in their respective families and fans.
Yes.
So
yes.
Okay, with all that said, we're going to wrap up. We will be back later this week with In Your House, Good Friends, Better Enemies, Vintage Vault. So please get your feedback in at bigelow34.proboards.com. This goes to you, Ashley Cruz. Stop fucking hounding me about not giving you reminders. You know when a reminder should be. So get your thoughts there. And we thank you, everyone, of course, for bringing you feedback for Asshole of the Week. So visit us at Facebook, Place to Be Podcast, or the Place to Be Podcast Live Chats Facebook page. On Twitter, Place Number 2B Podcast. And, of course, placetobe.podbean.com is where you can hear everything along with Stitcher and iTunes 4. Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero. Have a good rest of your week. We'll talk to you this weekend. Take care.
Ramming and stealing.